It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 27. We're going to read the first 8 verses today. And so please open your Bibles to the 27th chapter of Exodus. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit us on our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles. We'd like to get right to the study. So important that we get a good study in each time we come together. Exodus chapter 27, beginning to read with verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it up on the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans, all the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even in the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of acacia wood overlaid with brass, and the staves shall be put unto the rings, and the staves shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow the boards shalt thou make it, as it was shown thee in the mount, so shall you make it. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come together and enjoy this study. Please that you will guide and lead us and show us your way and will. It's such a joy to be able to open the Word, your Word, your living Word, and learn from it, grow from it, be saved from it, whatever the need might be. But I hope that need is filled today. If salvation is necessary for the heart of some that's listening, please today that they do not trust in their works, in their abilities in any way, but they trust in the Holy God, and they'll come, dear Father, to you. Please that that take place today, and please those that are saved, that they will serve you and follow you and stay with you in the sweet word as we were studying, dear Father, in the book of Nehemiah, and we got to the gate, and we got to the old gate, and it spoke of the old ways, the Word of God, and not changed, not perverted in any way, but the Word of God, the real Word of God, to stay with it, not change it because we think the times have changed. And the old hymns, we seem today that we just have the new and the choruses and things like that. And those old hymns have such a beautiful, beautiful message. It'll touch the hearts. And that's the reason, dear Father, I'm afraid they don't want to listen to them anymore. So please today that we sing the old songs and we are faithful to your word. And please that we stay there, dear Father, as believers and grow closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a joy to study the Word of God and to look at this tabernacle, and we have touched on many of these things here as we look at the different articles, different furnishings of the tabernacle. And now as we come to the beginning, you know, we're going to look here in a minute at the courtyard and things like that and the gate to the courtyard, but as we come to a very important place, and that's the way to come in, and it's the way to God or it is a way to be barred from God. And that altar is just that. Because if you would come to this place, and again, this unit sets the building, the facility, the tabernacle, and the courtyard. The gate is open from the east. And so as you would come from the east going westward, and you would come, the first thing that you would do is to just walk through this this gate. And we've kind of talked about this, the veil that is there, and it's different than the veil that is before the tabernacle, and then there we have the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, and we spent quite a bit of time with that. But here we are looking, this the inner veil, but here we're looking at out in the courtyard. So you come through this first gate, you get that far, but you just get in to the courtyard, just the beginning. But you can't go any further until you deal with what's at the altar. We have to deal with what's at the altar. And if you don't, you don't go any further. And we've talked about the golden walls inside and the beautiful embroidered ceiling and the beautiful embroidered veil between and the gorgeous colors that we have. And the everything inside there is gold, and everything inside there is beautiful and white, and everything outside is kind of drab and not attractive. And we have here this altar is not an altar of gold. It's an altar of brass. It's a brazen altar. Now, when you got a brazen altar, always through the scripture, that will speak of judgment. And so you see, when we get to this first place, this first article of furniture here, we can't go any further. We can't proceed one more step until we have taken care of the responsibility that we find there at that place. And so, again, it is the way to God. You have to come by this altar. And it's also a way that will keep you from God if you refuse to abide by its rules and its ways and its what it's there for. This altar was the place of a substitutionary sacrifice. The blood of the animal, as it was sacrificed upon this altar, was poured at the base, and then the animal itself was consumed in the fire. Now, this was what God had set into place. Now, today, we have gotten the animals and livestock and cats and dogs and everything else. Everybody seems to think they have a soul, and that they're different than us. They don't have a soul. And their purpose is for us and for food and for pleasure. And so we need to understand that. And it's and here, look at what God commanded the Israelites to do with these animals. He commanded them to be put to death, and he commanded the blood be poured at the base. Now, this is something, and then the animal was placed upon this altar and consumed in this fire. It was the death that stood between the outside and the inside. There's no way to God except by the altar or the cross. And so we need to get that clear. We need to get that plain. And when you says, my, that was a gruesome thing and ugly, and I can't imagine that, and I wouldn't have wanted to be any part of that. Well, the reason that it was, and you're exactly right up to the place that you say, I don't want to have any part of it. Because our sin is ugly, and our sin is filthy, and God cannot stand sin. And we can try, and we can work, and we can do anything that we want to do to try to get rid of that sin, but we can't. God knew we couldn't. They're just we're sick sinners, and we can't. And so he brought the means for us to have salvation, to have our sins taken away, that we can be back in fellowship with God the Father. And that way was the cross. And Jesus died on that cross. And it was not a pretty sight. It was ugly and brutal and gruesome. And Jesus died there. And the only thing we can really see is the physical side, as they would kill this animal. And they would put this animal then, after he was dead, they would put the animal's body up on the fire to be consumed. And you can smell that stench of death as it burns up. There's nothing that has a more terrible odor than that. And the blood, always the blood. You know, many people miss this, and they miss salvation because of it. But the blood was poured at the base of this altar, because, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for you and me. And what a glorious, beautiful picture we have here. And is it pretty? No. Is it something that we can't hardly look upon to do? That's true. But that's how ugly our sin is, and that's what God chose to pay the debt of sin, was that he would come and offer himself as a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. And when he died on that cross, he took all of our sins and put them upon himself, every sin that every person has ever committed, ever has, ever will. Jesus died and took our sins away. And Jesus rose again. Now, what a beautiful, beautiful picture here. As this smoke goes up into the heavens, we know that Jesus Christ has died and saved us. It was the death that stood between the outside and the inside. Until you dealt with that, you couldn't go any further. No way to God except at the cross or the altar. Let's look to John chapter 12, verse 32. John chapter 12, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus Christ is this animal representing the Lord Jesus, as he was lifted up and put upon this altar. And we're going to look here a minute at the size and things like that. But as he was lifted up and placed upon that altar, that sacrifice, that substitute, then that would cover the sin of that person. That would cover the sin. It would not take it away. Now Jesus, when he went to the cross, he took it away. And he is drawing all men to him. An Israelite could bring the most perfect, spotless lamb. But until it was put to death, that lamb had no value. And you see, the wages of sin is death. But then it goes on, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because just our life and just the life of the Lord Jesus, if he would have just come to live among us and then went back to heaven without dying, it would have been of no value to us. But Jesus died, and there was value. There's saving value. And again, if an Israelite would bring this most perfect animal, I mean with no blemish, just beautiful, most perfect animal, and you would put it there and says, here, God, here is this Here is this gift to you. And if you would have not followed through with the requirement of putting that lamb to death and placing that blood underneath the altar and then putting that lamb upon the fire, it would have been no value to you. None. Man's part made this altar. Man's part put the lamb, killed the lamb, put the lamb in the fire. Man's part even sprinkled the blood at the base of the altar. But when it comes to the forgiving part, man had nothing to do with that. And you see, man took part and made the cross. Man took part and nailed Jesus to the cross. But that's it. We could not kill the Son of God. Jesus died on his own, at his own will, his own hand. No one put to death the Lord Jesus. You see, that's where our hand ended. Our part stopped. And we have several verses of Scripture here. Several verses of Scripture here that I would like to read with you. We're back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. And again, this is the entrance into the courtyard of the tabernacle. We have the courtyard, then the tabernacle, and at the very beginning is this altar, this brazen altar, place of judgment. And that's where our sins are judged. And someone, something has to die. And all these animals, millions of animals, were put to death. But that could only cover it for a period of time. Jesus had to come and finish that work. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It begins there. Let's go back to Isaiah. Back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 7. I hope you have the opportunity to turn to these verses of Scripture as I am. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened not his mouth. Willingly, Jesus gave his life. This lamb, as you would bring this lamb for sacrifice, gave his life that we can live. Again, a picture, a covering for our sin, because the animal was not perfect. It was cursed like everything else. And this animal cannot take away our sin. It must be a perfect sacrifice. And that, of course, was the Lord Jesus. We go to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. And then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Let me back up here just a little bit. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Remember, we looked at that one. We looked at going through the veil on the Day of Atonement, and the sacrifice of the two goats. One went in and one was led away. Place every year for the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. No one took the life of Jesus. He was God, his time, everything was in place. He was willing. What great love he has for us. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What a beautiful scripture. Let's go back now to Exodus as we continue to look at this altar. The entryway into the place of joy and wisdom and comfort must come by way of this altar or the cross. You've always heard me say many, many times, and I'll continue to say that, as long as God gives me breath, that you cannot come to God by any other means except the cross. Well, that's a picture we have here. You cannot come into the place of fellowship and on to the holy place. You can't come to the. You can't have the cleansing power of God. You know, you hear so many people say, "Oh, God gave me power to do this or power to do that," and yet they have never come by faith to the Lord Jesus. God did not give them power to do that. The devil gave them power to act like a Christian for a period of time, but the heart's still filthy and dirty. And please. Please don't miss that. Don't miss the important, the most important part, and that's coming by faith to the Lord Jesus, and then begin that wonderful walk of praising and honoring, glorifying God. We have, again, as we look at the size of this altar, it's not a very large altar. You'll find it to be 5 cubits square, and then 3 cubits high in height, and so we're looking at 7.5 feet. Square, 7.5 feet each way around it, and then just 4.5 feet tall. But it was raised up, it was built up, and the fire was below it. And so, as they would pour the blood at the base, it would go up as a vapor, and representing how wonderful this is for us, and yet how horrible it was for the Lord Jesus. You know, we are not saved by Jesus' life and his death. We're saved by Jesus' death and his life. Because, you see, he rose again. And we need to keep that straight. We need to understand how important it is that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And all this picture of this body being consumed and the blood being consumed is a picture of this glorious death and the resurrection, what took place on the cross of Calvary for us. Please don't miss that. And so we have the size now. And again, it was not big, as we have seen. We live in a society that bigger is better, and it's that's not so at all. Here is one of the all the articles in this tabernacle are some of the most beautiful, the most beautiful ever made, and it was made by an example of what Moses saw in heaven. God gave him the talent and the men that made it the talent to make it exactly the way God wanted it made. We do not have those directions specifically today because we're not to remake it. Man would be making that again if we had the plans for it. We don't have the plans for it, and we shouldn't have. God gave not only the directions of to have the horns. It had put horns on 4 corners, and those 4 corners were those horns. That's where the sacrifice would be placed. They had flesh hooks, and that's where the sacrifice would be placed as they would add that one to the fire. And there were 4 corners to this. One man said one time, those corners in this tabernacle always set square with the world. And it was the north and to the east and west and to the south. And if you'll put those letters together, you'll find that says news, and there is great news here, the good news of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. You know, this unit 2, it made, we have the grates for the fire as we continue down through here. We have the pans and the shovels and the flesh hooks and the fire pans, the vessels thereof. Everything's made of brass because you see the judgment is present here. This is not the inside. You have the gold. Well, we haven't got to God yet. You see, we got to come to the cross to get there. You got to come by the way of the altar to get there. Thou shalt make for it the grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make four brazen rings in the four corners thereof, and thou shalt put in it under the to compass the altar beneath, that the net may be even in the midst of the altar, and thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of acacia wood overlaid with brass, always brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the rings shall be upon the two sides of the altar to bear it. Now, as we look just this far now, we have two, we have the four horns, and these horns speak of the great power and might. And if you look through the scripture, when you see the word power and strength, it leads to the word dynamite, dynamos, and it's unlimited power that is possessed and is present at the cross of Calvary. The power of the cross, the power of the gospel, it holds the greatest power ever. And there is nothing greater than having your sins forgiven and taken away. And so we have these four horns and the power. Now we have the rings and the staves. And as these people would transport this altar and the other articles of furniture in this tabernacle and the courtyard, it was always designed to move. That's one reason it wasn't so big. They had to carry this thing. Can you imagine how heavy it was? Even though it was acacia wood overlaid with brass, it would still be very heavy, 7.5 by 7.5 and 4.5 feet tall. And each time they would bring this and set it in its proper place. But there were two staves. And you see, if you would try to take those two staves and just take one, I said, no, I'm just going to use one stave, you could not carry this altar. It could not be borne up and carried. Well, it's the same thing with the gospel. Many people today speak of the Lord Jesus Christ dying and the importance of the death on the cross of Calvary. But if he had not rose again, you see, you need both parts. There are two staves. There's two parts to the gospel, his death and his resurrection. Please don't miss the opportunity of salvation through Jesus Christ. We have looked at this altar and the great love. It says, hollow with a board shalt thou make it. As it was shown thee in the mount, so shall thou make it. Every time we see this, don't we? And it's something how God could make this. And this lasted for well over 40 years because they were in the wilderness 40 years. They also used it for many years in the land of Canaan, in the promised land when they arrived there. And so God, as he sustained the people, as we will see, their shoes, their clothes, nothing wore out. He gave them food every day as they required it. And so it is so wonderful how God is showing these people his power and his strength. Now, he shows us his power and his strength. He does it through the Holy Spirit. And today he is coming to you and he is introducing to you the salvation, both parts, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please that you don't miss Jesus today. Don't miss the altar. Don't think you can walk around this brazen altar. Don't think you can bypass the cross of Calvary and ever be saved and have your sins forgiven and go to heaven. You know, a lot of preachers just preach about heaven. Well, there's a hell to shun, and you're going to be in that place, that lake of fire, if you do not come by faith to Jesus Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?